Okay, everyone, I'm very sorry, but we will have to carry on straight away since our guests are here and Suzanne has to leave. Well, you were only going to make it for 15 minutes. 10 of those have already gone, I think. So. Okay. So I'll talk about the agenda later, but I'll straight away give the floor to Suzanne.
Hello, everyone. Good to see you again. How are you? Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you for a few minutes. And what's in front of you here is what we call the management system, and also showing the linkage between the various systems. There has been something the team has been focusing on. As you know, that we are working on a strategic plan that's going to be rolled out to the community for comments. And the operating plan, of course, Xavier and his team been working on it diligently, and that will also be posted for public comments. And then that will turn into the budget for the year, and the costing and the cost management has been very important to us. And as you know, we have the project portfolio management system that's a task. And for people management, we use a system called Hologen. In addition to that, we have several programs on HR development, staff development. And the dashboard is something that we started just recently to provide visibility to the staff and management, and we also intend to have that roll out to the community in FY15. So this is quite a big step for us to get to this thinking, how we link all these together. And help us to minimize the silos, and also how to plan step by step. And on the system side, most of these areas are very manual. Even though some of these areas we do have a system, for example, in finance, we have the Great Plains and the Red Logic and whatnot, and a task and the project management. All those are very new as the team started to implement a couple of years ago, and there's quite a bit to go through to make sure that we have efficiency out of these systems. And some of these systems are not sufficient for what we need. For example, let's look at Great Plains. Although it's a project management based system, but we used it as a general ledger, and we don't have the project management module purchased and implemented yet. So, as you know, I started about 7 months ago, when I joined the organization. Although the organization is about 15 years old, when we look at the foundation side of the operation, much of this is almost like a startup, and Ashwin, our Chief Innovation and Information System, Chief Innovation and Information Officer, who joined us just a week or two ago, and he actually talked about that quite a bit in the last few days. There's still a lot on the system side need to be mature, and we feel the same way on the operations side. So there's much to be evolved over time, and the team is working very hard to get things set up and learn from each year as we implement more of it. So it's in summary, I wanted to point out to you that we are evolving, we are learning as we progress, but there's still quite a bit we need to work on to get to a sustainable stage so that we can have very good data and we'll have the best practice. Okay, just want to leave it at that. Any questions I can help answer in the meantime?
Nobody? Okay. Okay, that's good then. I don't know how you are going to share the tasks among you, because we wanted to be updated on the strategic plan process and the operational plan and budget process. I don't know if you're going to say anything about it or if it's easy.
Yes. Definitely. Xavier will go through more of the detail with you on those plans, the process of the plans. But it's important that I'd like to share this with you. This has been very crucial for the organization, the team, to work together on this management system, have a visibility that these systems are being implemented and being improved within the organization, and how we see all these are linked together, and how we can leverage each of these areas and minimize the resource needs to continue to evolve each one of these, and make sure that as we progress and evolve these areas, that we are linked and they're not going to be in silos. So we're very proud of this, actually, that we identified this and how we can help minimize the resources on it and how to plan to continue to improve and evolve. So I feel proud to share this with you and the team that has been working very diligently on these. Okay. So welcome your inputs if you have any. I really appreciate that.
Suzanne, I have a question from Byron. Sure. I have one from myself. I'll take that. What do you call it? The chair's prerogative to put mine on first. Can I seduce you into giving us a date or a year when you think this whole system will be running smoothly?
Okay. Actually, it depends on different perspectives. What is move smoothly and what is not? All right.
Well, let's say sticking to the planning and delivering the promised output.
Yeah. So let's pick on Xavier's area real quick, because you're very familiar with him. Since he came on board 2 years ago, right, he completed the implementation of the Great Plains system. That's the general ledger system. However, the last year or 6 months or so, that he and his team focused a lot on how to improve the FP&A function, which is the budgeting area. And they've done a lot of good work. Now the team is generating quarterly financial, the reporting of the financial on a quarterly basis. Monthly, the team is meeting with budget owners to look at variances and how to plan better and how to make sure we account for them properly. And the team started doing forecasts, and we finished the first forecast as of December. We not just finished the numbers, but we also finished a forecast through the end of the year. So extremely proud of the team. Are we good? No, we have long ways to go yet, right? Xavier and I are looking at the FY15 budget to present to the community. Do we feel we'll be able to get an A from the community? No, we're not there. No way we're there. And we dissect the issues. Where are we lacking? What do we need to do between now and FY15, sometime FY15, to improve so we can have a better FY16 budget presenting to the community? One of course, maturing the team that we formed, I mean, Xavier formed diligently over the last year, actually. I think the longest term person on the team besides him is only 10, 11 months, right, with the organization. Very, very new team. Now, the other, besides maturing the team, the part is very important is the system. As you know that we have a task, so all these the budget is to the project level, the portfolio level. However, a Great Plains system is just, we only implement a Great Plains general ledger. We didn't even purchase the project tracking system, let alone implementing it. So whatever we can do to report costs by project and portfolio is all very manual, and we only have few people in accounting. So the right way to do it is to have the project tracking and reporting system, which we haven't even assessed, have not purchased, have not implemented. So that's one of the first things that Xavier had discussed with our new CIIO, is the focus on finance system. So we can report, so we can understand ourselves what the cost for each of the project, and what is, you know, and then reporting to the board and the community. We're not there. So if you just look at that one alone, we have improved a lot. We got better discipline on the reporting to management and at the department level, but we're definitely not there yet on costing by project. And when can we get there? Well, first we have to get the system purchased and implemented, and then get the discipline of the reporting side cleaned up, and the variance explanations, all those need to all be lined up. So how long does it take to implement a system and to get all the processes set up for reporting and on a consistent basis? I would say about a couple of years. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just looking at one, we can drill down and we can look at the dates, what resources we need, and how we can get there. And each one of these, HR is another huge area, right? So Hologen system is now what we use for performance evaluation. But when you look at it, when I looked at it from my HR background, I said, wow, this is basically a bonus measurement tool, a compensation tool. This is not an HR development tool. There's hardly a small session, like a little box session of behavior evaluation. There's no comments, there's no coaching opportunity, nothing. So that's a huge step we are moving towards to have a true performance evaluation and measurement, not just tied to compensation. So these are just a couple of simple examples. When will we get there? We're working hard on, actually the team is working very, very hard to have that achieved in the first half of FY15. By middle of FY15, we'll achieve that one. So for each one, we have certain dates and goals to set up. I hope this helps.
Thank you. Byron.
Thanks, all. So everything you're saying is very exciting and very positive, and I'm happy to hear it, but you have to respect that I certainly, and probably members around this table, are going to be extremely skeptical. I can't help but think back to the start of the SOP 4 or more years ago, at least a chair ago, a couple of CFOs ago, when I, as the former chair, heard almost exactly the same thing. And it was all about to be in place, and the system was going to be bought, and the financials were going to get regular, and the reporting was not going to be manual anymore. It was going to be automated. I literally heard what you just told me 4-plus years ago. And I've heard it on at least, this is the third iteration of we're starting it, it's happening, it's all going to be good. So you'll have to excuse us if, or me, I won't speak for my colleagues here, I'm incredibly skeptical and disappointed that we're now talking about putting programs and systems in place that are years out. I mean, you're talking to a bunch of operators. I put in Hologen. I put in the project management systems in my own organization. I'm sure colleagues around have done things like that too. Processes, people, systems are years in the making before there's any maturity level, and we get out what we've been asking for years. And I think that not only is this about the systems that you're putting in place, it's about the accountability of ICANN that is suffering here. And this is one of the major places where it suffers in our community and others, because we've been told this over and over and over again, and there's been a complete failure, not complete, but largely a failure to deliver on the promise that's been made over and over and over again. And that deeply damages your, and I don't mean you as a person, but your, as ICANN's management team's credibility.
Thank you for sharing that, those thoughts. I really appreciate that. And when I came into the organization a few months ago, I have to say I was surprised. This is a 15-year organization, and very much like a startup in many ways in the fundamental system, I mean fundamental operational practice side. And then when I get to understand the team more and more, Xavier came in a couple of years ago, and he was handed basically a system purchase without implementation. And he took the first year to implement it, and then he rebuilt the team. So when I look back on each of those areas and the time it took to get to here today, I'm very proud of the team, what they have achieved and what we have achieved together over the last few months. Are we there? No. I think that was the question you had. Are we there? When are we going to be there? From my standard, no, we're not there. But are we on the right path? Yes, we're on the right path. Now, we can say that we should have been there yesterday. I wish, yes, we shouldn't have been there yesterday. But certain standards need to be achieved. And so we can look back on, I don't know what was the last few years, the CFOs, what they promised and whatever it was, or the COO. But at this point, if we're given the task to achieve operation excellence, we have a path to achieve operation excellence. Were we there 2 years ago? I think depending on the standard, there were certain operation excellence achieved over the years. But when we look at it today, especially what happened recently, and we have to become more and more transparent and accountable for, there's much more to do yet from my personal point of view. And do we have a path to get there? Yes, there is. But there's a lot of hard work and a lot of commitment. And so one of the reasons that so we made the decision to hire the CIIO, because there's quite a bit lacking there on the system side that we need to improve.
The only additional comment that I would make in addition to the comment that Byron made is the past promises undelivered, there's nothing we can do about it. Now, the only thing that we can do about now is starting delivering and demonstrating that we do what we say.
Okay. But that is clear. I mean, for those who arrive now, there's nothing they can do than conclude things are not in order and start getting them in order. But like Byron said, we've been here for some years, and this is the third time that we arrive in that situation. And we see very little progress. And because after this discussion, we're going to discuss again the lack of adherence to the planning, both for the strategic plan and the operational plan and budget. We've been talking about that for years. So for those who join ICANN with the task to improve it, I mean, there's no looking back. There's just going forward. But what we see is a lack of progress. And that means that the third time we hear it, we think, is it now really going to happen? Are we going to be optimistic? Are we going to collaborate and forget about the past and just help them? Or is it never going to work? And in the meantime, ICANN has grown from a, what, $60 million US dollar budget to a $300-plus million dollar budget, I think.
Yeah. No,
something like
90.
What?
90.
Budget versus revenue.
Okay, well, I mean, your overall revenue is something like 1,500 times $185,000?
No, this is different. Yeah, you're talking about new chief. We have a $90 million budget.
For that part of the organization, yeah, Everything is in order. This is just operations where it doesn't work.
No. We're not saying everything is not in order, please.
Everything is in order. I'm not suggesting that nothing is in order.
Yeah.
But your overall revenues, let me phrase the question different. Do you think that there are many organizations with a total overall revenue as ICANN has the financial system in the shape that ICANN has?
I didn't keep scores or statistics, but I'm sure there's plenty. But I don't think that's really the point, honestly.
That cannot follow the financial performance of projects, and because that's what you said. Right? You don't have a system whereby you can track and report.
At projects, we cannot yet, but we certainly have departmental budget and departmental costing and departmental reporting. So let me explain it here. I think maybe it's my mistake, my communication. The organization is at a point that is properly tracking and reporting the costs. However, if we want to know how much each of the projects is costing, it's challenging because we don't have the project tracking system. However, we know exactly how much each department is costing, what's our payroll number by department, and so whatever expenses that we, so if we look at the departmental costing side, we are there because the general ledger system has been implemented properly and we are accounting it properly and we're reporting properly. But on a project by project basis, we are not there. So if we look at how events we have achieved over the last couple of years under the CFO Xavier's control, yes, the system is implemented, the grid claims, and we are tracking costs correctly and accounting them correctly, and we are comparing to budget correctly, and we're reporting to management on a monthly basis, going through the variance analysis in detail with them, and then we are publishing the financial each quarter, as you have seen reported. So those achievements have not been minor. It's not easy because the team is brand new. Xavier is new, and the team is only less than a year old. That's huge achievement within a short period of time from the team. At the same time, the team also achieved a quarterly financial forecast. So that's the first time as of December last year, the team can do a quarterly forecast now, which was unheard of before. So absolutely tons of achievement. Let's look at the HR side. I said that Halogen is a system we implemented. Yes, it is, but it's not a performance evaluation system. It is a bonus a system based on goal achievement. Is it good? Yes. It measures the goals, how we achieve the goals, and the bonus attached to that. Is it good enough from an HR development point of view? No, it's not, because it does not give enough opportunity for managers to give comments back to coach the staff. It basically has a five areas of behavior judgment using little dots, with no examples given. So if I look at from a critical HR person point of view, it is good that you measure goals of each quarter, each trimester achieve or not. Great, you achieve. The team achieved that. Wonderful. What's next? We need to develop our staff. We need to train our managers. So we came up with six management competencies that need to be trained, that need to be implemented and to measure. That's coming in first half of FY15. So I think maybe I start out saying too many critical areas because I see there's a lot to improve yet. But by looking back, there are a lot of good things has happened. And I think you've seen it. You've seen the quality financial, and you've seen many areas. So definitely a lot achieved, a lot to go yet, okay, in summary.
Giovanni?
Oh, hi, Susanna. Giovanni, that's you. I think we met on the first time we met was on that bus back from the dinner gala in Buenos Aires. So the first meeting was...
oh, my goodness.
Not the best experience. But in the sense, not because of us, because of there was an issue with the driver. We got lost in the middle of nowhere.
We got to the hotel when
a we rescued the people on the bus. So, no, I just wanted to catch up on what Rollo said about sort of frustration of the people in this team. Because certain elements that you have kindly explained today, as Rollo said, they were explained to us several times. And at some point, you know, it comes the moment when those elements, they have to translate into concrete actions, and in this case, in concrete plans. I think it's also important to learn from history. So probably you are saying, and we have been said many times, that you know, there are new teams, new people on board that are looking after these matters at ICANN. And it's good, you know,
organizations, they change, and hopefully for the better. So it's good there are changes. At the same time, I always say that sometimes it's also good to think and see what has been done and learn from the lessons from the past, because the entire strategy and operating plan exercise started back in ICANN 2005. And so it's a process that is celebrating almost 10 years, a decade. And during this decade, there's been a lot of feedback provided by the community. So I think, you know, when doing and going through this exercise, again, like Rolof underlined, it's good to learn from what has been done and what can be improved, even in this sort of skeleton level. So that's my only input. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I have to say, you have a very, very good point. When I first joined the organization, I feel very fortunate to have a few of the members, my direct reports, have been with the organization for a long time. Xavier is quite new. However, you know Diane, who's been with the organization since day one. She's employee number two. And she's in the admin role. And once I talked with her, I thought, wow, she has such passion for the employees, for the staff. So we divided HR into two. One is HR operations. Steve continued to oversee that. And HR development, we need a lot more focus in this organization. So we moved to her, and she's just wonderful. Since then, she started many programs already to roll out to the staff, and several roll out already. One is very, very good. I want to just let you know that I'm very proud of that program. It's the management competency. We defined together with the leaders, the management, what are the areas managers need to have. And once we define them, we'll communicate that, and we develop programs on training, and there's many of them going to be rolled out and have been received very well by our staff so far. So absolutely, we have some very long-term executives like Diane and like Steve and Carol as well. You know Carol, who's been with the organization a long time. She oversees the exec dashboard and also the portfolio area. She has a lot of good experience, and I learn from her every day. So absolutely very important to leverage the team who have been here for many years to help us to make sure we don't make the same mistakes again and help us to leapfrog some of the issues as soon as possible. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Leonid was there first. So I have Leonid, and then I have Leslie, and then we probably have to change to the next subject.
Hi, Leonid, how are you? From what I heard, well, thank you very much. It was very candid, very interesting, but I just want to echo Giovanni. First of all, what ICANN lacks at the moment is that sense of legacy. So no legacy in place. This is important, I guess. This is philosophical. Second thing is that very important. To me, it all sounds very technocratic, if not bureaucratic. What I mean is that I can see this bureaucracy growing. Like, you were talking a lot about the CIO. Isn't that an illustrative case? Like, you had hunted a CIO from Walmart, and I would imagine he came not for peanuts. How come it was he? Why he was chosen? What this position for? How come he arrived out of the blue? I mean, we saw that announcement on the ICANN's webpage, just like that. I mean, this is important to understand that the organization is growing too fast. You are catching up, but with no obvious success. I mean, all the time the organization is just running ahead of you. How many people do you have now? 350?
We have 257.
257. From what? From which number? From 65, 75?
No.
What I mean
a year
is
ago was two. You mean the beginning of the fiscal year?
Yep.
204.
Okay, 204. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's like than something percent a year. So what I mean is that you're trying to catch up only with bureaucratic procedures, building very nice graphs and charts, you know, trying to figure out how it will work, but we can't see and feel some real output in terms of efficiency. You were talking about measurement and whatever, benchmarking and stuff like that, but we can't feel that because we can. What we see now is just a bureaucratic exercise, more or less, like how to build this or that chart, rather than how to sort of streamline operations. Thank you.
Appreciate your perception. Building charts like this really help us focus our mind how our systems are connected. The benefit of this linkage help us to actually cut down silos and align the various groups of efforts and leverage what various groups are doing. For example, we have to define the key success factors and key performance indicators to measure ourselves. And when, as we define those for the dashboard, we leverage the same efforts for risk management, leverage the same efforts for defining operating plan and strategic plan. So we don't do it in silos. We do it together now and eliminate a lot of extra work different groups have to focus on without being aligned. Now, regarding the CIIO, as far as I know, that has been in the past for a long time. We're looking for a CTO.
Maybe we shouldn't go into that one. I think it's a bit off topic.
Yes, yeah. But just want to address to you, when you say bureaucratic, I hope we will never get to the bureaucracy. We only 250 some people, and quite a few of them actually relating to the new GTLD group. To build out what we, because we're rolling out a huge program that need a lot of people. Part of it is relating to globalization, and that's one of the reasons for the hire of the CIO. So I should stop here. I know you have a lot to go yet.
Leslie and then Byron.
Thanks for the presentation. I share colleagues' weariness that although progress has been made, there's still an awful lot more to be done. And I think you neatly sidestepped the question as to when do you expect all of the systems to be in place. What would be really helpful would be for just a one-pager, not on the high-level systems, kind of what they're meant to be doing, but the date by which you would expect to have the systems implemented, so at least you can perhaps better manage our expectations, which are fairly low at the moment, because we have heard many years, we're waiting for this system, we're waiting for that system. But I think it's key for us now really to have better understanding as to the timelines, so we don't give you grief next time you come back if we know that some of the elements are maybe going to take a bit longer to put in place.
Very good, Leslie, definitely. And we have defined the dates for several, and we're working with the IT team, CIO, on the other ones. So we will definitely report that. Thanks.
Well, it was actually going to be much of what Leslie just said in terms of I know good work has been done. I've worked with Xavier extensively, and a bunch of good work has happened in that one component, and we should recognize that, and I think we have over the last little while. But fundamentally, in a sense, the trust has been breached because we've heard the story so many times, right? And to me, that's the essence. The trust has been breached, so our expectations are remarkably low, which is not where you want to be. However, if you want to rebuild that trust, you need to put hard dates in front of us and live up to them and build it back one step at a time. And therefore, can you provide us in very short order, give us a date on that, give us a hard date, when you can provide the list of hard milestones that you're going to achieve to develop all of the systems and that you can start as an organization building back the trust which has been lost within our community?
Very good. So when is the next time you'll be together again? Is it London? Is it? Okay. So is that a good time?
We have email and monthly conferences in between. We could pick it up before June, I'm sure.
Okay. Okay. We can provide, actually, we can provide you certain dates that we, Xavier and myself and several others, have already developed. I think there are a couple of things we need to validate with IT that we need to finalize, so we can give you part of it with commitment. Xavier, you
mentioned? I just want to say whether you agree with the process of hiring of the CIO or not, he started a week ago. So developing a roadmap on all the systems for the organization, including those, but of course there's many more other systems that are not on this picture, like Salesforce.com on the front end and so on. Ash is going to need a bit more than a week to be able to put a plan together, and that's just the systems part. So to your point, process, people, system go together in that model. So I think the reason why Susanna was pointing out to London is because putting in place a roadmap that is sufficiently clear, that it has milestones with dates, and that we can have an understanding can be delivered, is going to take more than a week or two, to be realistic. So I think London is, in my view, nearly already in a relatively aggressive target to be able to try to provide a plan like that.
Well,
I think it's reasonable to try.
It is going to be very challenging if there are no plans at all at the moment in this particular area.
In which area?
Well, we're talking about delivering systems and when are things ready. That means if you say that he's been here a week, we can't expect him to come up with a time schedule with deliverables and dates, because he has got to learn the organization first, ta-da. That means that there's nothing now. He has to start...
Like I said earlier, on the finance system...
So we warmly welcome anything that you can deliver to us in this particular area between now and London, and
mm-hmm.
If we can have a presentation of it in London, because I don't know, but...
Let's summarize.
Maybe
what
you can already claim a slot in your agenda on Sunday. I don't know the date. The first Sunday in the ICANN mm-hmm. meeting in London afternoon, probably... This time also.
We do have board meetings on Sunday. This one. If I understand it, say you have board meetings on Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So we may need to shift if getting closer to London.
Yeah.
We can shift this meeting and do it in the morning as well. So what would work?
Yeah.
This today was very difficult because we started with a council workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And normally we start, say, in the Sunday afternoon because people are flying in on Sunday and Saturday.
We can coordinate that.
But we can change it around to make that work on Sunday.
But in summary, I want to clarify is that there are many things implemented already and working. For example, Great Plains, General Ledger has been implemented, and we're doing the quarterly financial reporting, and we're doing the forecasting now. And we are meeting with the management on the variance analysis. So those are huge achievements accomplished. So if what you talking about is what else we're working on to continue improvement. So the next step is looking at project costing, so we can report our cost by project tied to the past projects, right? So that piece has not been determined when we would have a system. That's what we're working with the CIO on. Okay. So is that what you mean when certain things are as organization evolving, more and more will be implemented, right? So that's the next step of evolution, is for finance to have the project costing system. So when you say everything's broken, no, it's not. Please don't see it that way, because we are reporting financial, and when those numbers are accurate, they're being audited. So it's really the next phase of evolution, what we need to do. We need to have project costing, so that's the next thing we should have. In HR, are we broken? No, because we have many good things in place. And the next thing is to have a better management performance evaluation. So we can give you the areas we target to achieve and those system supports to achieve them. But in the 18 months or 24 months from now, are we going to come up with new things to improve? Of course we will. And at that time, we will have other systems we need to look at to support the growth of the organization. So this is a time, really a phase of time, what we are looking at improving. We have improved this already. What else we need to improve and what system support we need. It's not that we don't have system at all. We do have several systems in place. I hope you understand.
Yes, we understand and we know. And I think I'll just fall back on Leslie. I think she perfectly phrased what we are looking for. Our expectations to be managed, to be able to improve our trust in the improvements, in fact.
So perhaps in the last few minutes, we talked about what's been improved and what needs to be improved. So what we can provide is really that summary of what's been improved already and where we at. And from now on, we look at the several areas of improvement, and some of them have to be supported by systems, some don't. Okay, some are just like training and whatnot. It's just we need to align the training and get the schedules of training done. That's all. So we can give you a high-level summary of the various things achieved, done, check off, accomplishments, various things need to, that's what we already have goals set out to be achieved for this trimester and for FY15 in the operations area, and what are the supporting systems not in place that we need to get the system for. So is that good with you, Leslie?
I'm just looking for the roadmap and where it is we're going and when we're going to get there, as opposed to driving in the rearview mirror.
Right.
So the roadmap will be good.
Yes. And we have that already for building the FY15 budget. We have to have that. So very good. Very reasonable request. Thank you.
Just to add, maybe based on this discussion, and say when we started or when this discussion started, there was a bit of a sense, say, we've heard the story again without thinking through or without discussing what has changed, say, since the first time or the second time we've heard that story as an SOP. And maybe what has been achieved is from that perspective, is relevant.
Yeah, but we spent about 4 years waiting for accountants and great claims and so on, so it's great to acknowledge that's now there and going, but it took an awful lot longer than ideally would have been the case. I'm sure we'd all agree on that.
Okay.
Oh, you wanted to react?
Just want to say thank you for our input, and I think I took quite a bit of your time. And so the deliverable we talked about is that between now and London, we'll have a list of accomplishments, both from the team and the system area, and then the list of things that we shoot for, target to achieve within the FY15. That's what you're looking at, right? Correct. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Suzanne. And at least we made you really look forward to your next meeting, right?
You know, I think part of it's really the benefit of communication. I think this is very useful to me. What Byron talked about, you know, every CFO, every blah, 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 all that stuff. It's good to hear because I came in with a certain understanding that I go from here, you know, and not knowing there's so much baggage and luggage. The legacy before, and actually there's been a lot of achievements over the years as I have seen. However, there's a lot to go yet, and especially at this time, we all know we need to be much more transparent, much more ready. From one perspective, are we ready? Yes, we are doing many things, but when we wanted to achieve more, yes, there's so much more to go yet. And I think it's important to show you where we are. to make sure that you feel that we're not broken. I don't think we're broken. So that's important. And I think if you get the impression we're broken, I hope you will get over that pretty quickly, because we are achieving a lot with a small organization. So, and then you can take a look at the path, what else we should to achieve over the next year. Okay.
Once again, thank you very much. Okay. Well, we're only a small group, so let's not make this too formal. I had put three items on the agenda: strategic planning process and some discussion about that, operational plan and budget, same thing, and then we have the One World Trust report that we were asked to look into, and in the end we have to look a bit forward and see how we do our work between now and London. So am I correct in assuming, Denise, that you will take that first bit, strategic plan, planning process?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Please, go ahead.
Is that Christina some slides?
And by the way, I put some times in my draft agenda. I don't know. It was in between flights. Is that the proper excuse? I saw them and I thought,
How much time would you like me to take?
What was that?
How much time would you like me to take?
It's now almost 3:30, and we have until 4:00, so 10-15 minutes max.
Happy to. So I can get started. So the next step in ICANN's multi-stakeholder collaborative strategic planning process is that a comprehensive draft five-year strategic plan will be posted right after Singapore for 2 months of public comment. This builds on a very bottom-up collaborative process we started back in April of brainstorming and gathering widespread information and input on the direction that ICANN should go. You'll recall that October through January we posted an initial draft mission vision and general focus area goals and received some really useful input. And not from the FOP, the FOP did not provide input, but Royal Few provided some very useful guidance, which has been incorporated in the draft. If you go to the next slide, please. So the draft strategic plan will incorporate an updated vision, the mission, which is drawn directly from our bylaws, and then strategies contained in five focus areas. Next slide. So as you I think are now aware, as I mentioned, the schedule has been updated. It has been extended. Previously, we had anticipated posting the comprehensive draft strategic plan prior to Singapore. It now will be posted after Singapore. The board is reviewing it this week, doing their final review, and then we'll post it. The extension of the schedule in part was necessitated by the delay in the strategy panels posting their recommendations, which recently were posted and will be factored in. And also the staff has done a significant amount of work in developing key success factors and key performance indicators for their ongoing work that has been very valuable in informing the more strategic details in this draft strategic plan, strategic details that this group has been asking for a few years now. We'll be posting the draft plan for public comment in April and May. the strategy panel reports are out for public comment, and that'll stay open through April. We're anticipating the June timeframe for considering all of the public input we've received, updating the plan as appropriate, and providing it to the board for final action around June. Next slide. As I noted, we've updated the vision based on public comments. We've added a significant amount of detail to the focus areas and strategies, incorporating the community feedback we've received. We've also incorporated the broad high-level themes that have already been highlighted by the strategy panels, and included a significant amount of detail that the CCNSO originally asked for, and the board has echoed that request. So we have, you recall, five focus areas with specific goals under each focus area. And for each goal, now we've proposed in the draft plan outcomes or key success factors, potential risks for each goal, measurements for each goal or key performance indicators, and a high-level phasing of the work related to that goal over the course of 5 years. And the 5 years covered by the strategic plan are fiscal year 2016 through FY20. Next slide. So this shows the strategic detail that we've now worked into this draft strategic plan, which I think you'll recognize as tracking with advice that has been given by this group over the years. Next slide. So I noted the time frame that this strategic plan will be a foundation for FY16 to FY20, and it will anchor a steady state planning process that ICANN will use starting in FY16. Where the strategic plan informs the operating plan and budget planning process, which Xavier will speak to, incorporating community input and comments. The operating plan and budget will be established. We'll be tracking the achievements and providing a progress reporting, and then towards the end of the cycle, we'll validate that we're on track, that the strategic priorities, the strategic plan is still relevant, no updates are needed before proceeding with the next fiscal year. And I would note that the resource requirements connected to this five-year strategic plan will be addressed in the operating plan and budget. Risk mitigation also will be, and fiscal impact will be addressed in the operating plan and budget phase. Next slide. So as I noted, we'll be posting the draft plan for 2 months of public comment. There'll be additional opportunities for input. We'll be offering, you know, webinars and other ways of providing comments in addition to the normal public comment process. I also wanted to flag another element that was recommended by Roloff mentioned this at the forum in Buenos Aires, and I believe this group has mentioned it before, to prioritize the goals within each of the focus areas. And so we're proposing to do that, elicit additional comments from the public on that over the next couple of months, and then handle the prioritization in the final plan. So that's just a quick overview of the process and the approach that we're taking, and you can expect to have the draft strategic plan for comment right up to Singapore.
And you said immediately after this meeting, so that's end of the month or beginning of next month?
Yes, the target is in the first week of April. They're also doing a big revamp and relaunch of the ICANN website. We're working out the specific logistics, but you'll see the plan out in the first week of April. Happy to take any questions.
Questions. Okay, I have one, and I have several, in fact. So, Denise, if I understand correctly, there will be one draft strategic plan, because in the original planning there were two, and if I understood you correctly, you now consider the document with the focus areas and the new mission and vision as the first draft. And what we will get now will be the second draft.
Yes.
Okay. How will you ensure that there will be enough time between the commence period and the ICANN board's approval of the strategic plan for the ICANN board to take into consideration the comments that have been forwarded by the community?
So we currently envision that there will be a month for, so as soon as the comment period closes in May, we'll be providing those comments to the board, holding a board briefing and discussion on them, and they'll have approximately 30 days to consider those comments and decide additional action. And of course, they could choose to take more time, depending on the comments that they receive. Right now, we're anticipating the end of June action. I could envision it slipping into July, depending on the substance of the comments they receive and consideration for updating of the final draft.
Probably superfluous, but I just want to make sure this group has been repeating itself in comments periods quite often. And instead of delivering comments to the, I think it was the FY15 draft strategic plan, we came up with an kind of an overview of the most important comments that we made over the last couple of years and that were still valid. Valid in the sense that they didn't lead to any change for the better. So may we ask you to already take those comments into consideration when you're working on the plans now, because otherwise we will again have to make them.
Sure. And
thank you.
I have... And we'll also be coming back to you with specific responses for all the comments we've received.
Excellent. Leslie.
Hi. Just to labor Roloff's point, our most favorite comment, and one which we've made for many, many years, is about the lack of measurable goals. So specifically targets that are SMART, as in measurable and specific and hopefully achievable and so on. It'd be wonderful just not to have to make that comment this time round, because it would just give us something else to pick you up on instead.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. And I think that ongoing comment in particular has been very useful, and we've taken that guidance to heart. I've incorporated, so we have the five focus areas, approximately five specifics of goals or objectives in each area. We've kept that framework. And then for every single one of those goals or objectives, we have outcomes or key success factors, what success looks like, the potential risks, and measurements. So it's the key performance for every single one, key performance indicators, both quantitative and qualitative, that we should consider measuring for progress, as well as outcomes. Where do you want to be at the end of fiscal year 2020? And then some high-level phasing of how we might phase each of these efforts over the next 5 years. And so you don't need to tell us to include measurements, but what I think would be useful if you have the time is to take a look at the measurements that we're proposing and let us know if you find them to be adequate and if you suggest any changes in that area.
Thank you. I mean, that's really heartening to hear. I think the trick is getting the measurable things, and that would be progress. The trap that you often fall into then is putting unrealistic dates on, given what else will be going on at the same time. And I would encourage caution on those dates, of course, because then when you have goals and measurable goals, people are then looking to hold you to account, to deliver those. And sometimes what may be very, you know, realistic on one area actually is fine, but when you combine it with all of the other things you're doing, it's just not possible to do. So I would encourage huge realism in those dates, because of course people like us are going to hold you to the dates.
Yeah, and I, just to quickly respond to that, I think Xavier also has a comment. So you'll see in the phasing for each of those 15 goals or objectives is very general at a very high level. And again, if you so there aren't specific dates, but there's a so it's high level phasing, and it'll be useful to hear whether you think it's useful to show the proposed phasing at the level that we did, or whether you think some, you know, more dates and more details might be appropriate. But it's one of the more challenging areas for the executives to complete. So, go ahead.
This is a very helpful comment, which I'm hoping that what we're working on, which is the development of the dashboard, is giving a reality to the metrics of the progress. And when you start formulating the metric of saying, you know, I'm at 90% and I need to be at 95%, and what does it take to get from 90 to 95, and when am I going to set 95, and I need to lay out the resources between the beginning and the end to get from 90 and 95, then it starts bringing a realism to the exercise of formulating the deadline. And I'm sure you guys went through, you know, your various organizations through those exercises. And the formulation of the dashboard has been, or the KPIs that enter into the dashboard has been for a number of department managers an eye-opening exercise on the really looking at the deadline from the perspective of what does it take to achieve it. And of course, even by doing that, it's still challenging, of course, to precisely define the timeline. But I think it's been a helpful exercise, and I think implementing the dashboard is going to help us be more realistic, as well as tracking and monitoring better, which is what it's used for. That's the purpose of it, to track and monitor better the progresses, and also be able, going to be a tool, in my view, to help communicate on potential changes versus the plan, because the tool that helps tracking then can help us reassess the plan and the timeline and be able to communicate it as well. So I am counting a lot on that tool. I think it's going to be extremely helpful. But I'm not trying to say it's a resolved issue. I think it's going to be a tool to help mitigate the trap that you're pointing out, which I completely agree with.
Okay. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
So I think we will change to you, Xavier, and you will give us some information about the progress on the FY15 budget and operational plan.
So can we go back to the previous slides, please? I don't remember, but I think I can only remember Alan being the one who participated to the call on March 12th. Is that right? And I think you couldn't participate, right, Orloff?
Yeah.
So we are at the stage where we have put together a framework for the FY15 operating plan and budget, which we have communicated a high-level view of. Let me try to use this. Can I use this? Not a good idea.
Yes, okay. Maybe I can suggest that you don't go through the whole slide deck, but give us the planning and the highline what you have at the moment.
So we have provided a high-level view of the framework.
which is basically the high-level operating plan. You may remember seeing on the management system slide the structure of that task, which are the objectives, the goals, the portfolios, and the projects. So the operating plan has been formulated at the level of portfolios. There are 4 objectives, 16 goals, and 60 about portfolios. The operating plan has been formulated at that level. We have only at this stage shared the highlight of the full 60 portfolios. In this presentation, I have about 15 slides, which I didn't intend to go through, but that provide for each of the goal, each of the 16 goals, the list of portfolios that are under it, and that's the level of granularity that we are formulating the framework on, and to which is associated a key success factor and a set of KPIs. That's the exercise that Denise has referred to earlier. That's been a tremendously demanding exercise between November and February, basically. But that has helped putting the framework under the format of, for each of these portfolios and these key success factors and these KPIs, being able to formulate basically the objectives for FY15, and so that then we can associate as part of the budget the resourcing that achieving these objectives take and the quantification of that resourcing, which is basically the budget. So it's been an extremely important step in the development of that management system that's been achieved over the past 4 months. That now is taking shape into the format under which we're going to provide the entire operating plan, 60 portfolios with their key success factors and their key performance indicators. And that will be included in the package of information submitted for public comment with a target date of the 24th of April, so about a month from now. At the end of that public comment process, if I anticipate the same question that you asked Denise earlier, the end of the public comment process is anticipated for June 4th. And so, I seem to be doing the same thing all the time. So June 4th is the end of the public comment process, where we will consolidate the comments, review the comments, formulate answers to the comments, submit those answers and potential changes to the operating plan and budget to the Finance Committee of the Board. And the Finance Committee of the Board will review the comments and the potential changes and then submit to the board the proposed operating plan and budget. So there is, a little bit like Denise was indicating, there is about 20 days between the end of the public comment process and the board meeting in London I wanted to go earlier in the presentation. Okay. Can you go back further up in the presentation, much further? Right after that, sorry. After.
After, so we're down.
Yes, sorry, down. This one, thank you. So unless I'm mistaken, June 4th is the end of the public comment process. That's the orange section at the bottom. So we have about 20 days, basically, to consolidate the comments, review them, answer them, submit them to the BFC, Finance Committee, for their review and potential changes to the operating plan and budget, if relevant, and a submission by the BFC or recommendation by the BFC for board approval. So, honestly, I think past history and realism and common sense is telling us it's a very short time frame to really allow a lot of interaction. That's one of the AGRT2 recommendations, is of course to embed into the process more time for iterations after comments. The AGRT2 recommendations were there. Original formulation were requiring 5 months of iterations after the first draft of the budget, which I have no clue how we would be able to implement, but we'll have to look at a different solution to the same need. So this year is also going to be extremely tight to be able to conduct those steps, but we have lined up the process. The BFC is extremely and Shireen is extremely focused on ensuring that we provide the BFC with the comments and the responses prior to them recommending the budget for approval, which is exactly what we should do. But in the future, we will need to design a process that allows more time for that. So I've also noted that, as you had indicated last year, and you just said also to Denise, to take the comments that you guys made in the past in the FY 14 or 13 planning processes, to take those into account before they can be formulated. So what we will need to work on in the future collectively is that a number of the comments that this group specifically, but others as well, had formulated at the end or by the public comment process relative to the operating plan and budget are less comments about the operating plan and budget than about the strategic plan. And that's a challenge that I think we'll need to try to find a solution for, because obviously strategy comments need to be taken into account at the plan, at the time where we develop the strategic plan, and that's something that I would like to be able to work with you guys on in the future. Just a side note.
Okay, thank you, Xavier. Questions? Remarks? Xavier? Who?
Oh.
Go ahead.
Well, I heard you talk about ATRA and implementation. What are you going to handle the IANA transition? Have you increased the budget for that function, or do you have a separate budget for IANA?
Sorry, increased the budget or a separate budget for what part of the IANA function? I don't know yet. The budgets have been submitted earlier this week, or at least a draft budget by department has been submitted earlier this week, along with the operating plan. So we are right now consolidating the first draft and looking at reviewing them. It is obvious that the recent announcements need to be taken into account as much as we can in this time frame to be able to reflect that. Part of what we, so the direct specific questions about IANA is what I just said. What we did expect is that the FY15 year would be to a certain extent containing activities that are difficult to plan, internet governance related activities, for example, what the Brazil meeting is going to trigger in terms of activities, for example, in the next months or years is difficult to plan. And we will be publishing the draft budget that day, right? So by definition, we will not have taken into account the consequences, for example, on internet governance of the Brazil meeting, if there's any. Just an illustration of the fact that there's a relatively limited visibility on a certain number of subjects for FY15. So our plan has been the less visibility, you have the more flexibility you need to try to include in the plan, and we've tried to increase basically the contingency, which is the unallocated set of resources, so that we can use those unallocated resources to allocate them to actions that would materialize later. And of course, that means reducing the allocated resources so that you give more room for the contingents. That's what we're trying to do.
Thank you. Byron?
A very specific question, but I can't help but notice it. On the bottom green bucket here, evolve SOAC structures. Obviously, that speaks to us. What exactly do you mean by that?
So I'll ask David Olive to provide more color to that. I think this portfolio contains the current support. These 16 goals contain, or basically are the buckets as per which all the activities of all the organizations are carried out. So under this specific portfolio, there is, from memory, there is the current support by organization that exists, so the activities that Mark, Christine, and Gabriella conduct, and basically be able to look at the evolution of basically with a community that will include then the new registries coming out of the new GTLD, what kind of impact the change community as a result of newcomers, I would say, will have or should have on the SONAC structures, if it should have any. So there's a lot of, I know you guys know, there's a lot of talks also on the GNSO structure that is very fragmented. But it's not an objective. It's a bucket under which the activities relative to support of SONAC that David notably conducts are captured. And there's more.
In fact, it's more an activity than an objective. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Xavier, I had a question too. If you look at this slide and then, for instance, this one as an example, would you agree with me if I said this would probably be the level of detail of your strategic plan, and from this you will, in your budget and operational plan, you will derive annual milestones, determine the capacity needed, develop the cost calculation, etc. So once you have your five-year strategic plan, this will not be, well, I mean, maybe they will be in your operational plan as the title of the different chapters, but this is not the level of detail that you would expect in an operational plan. I say this because I find it very difficult to comment on this, because they're very broad terms. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how much it's going to cost, what capacity you need. I don't know what you think is more important than the other one. And you cover so much ground, at least if I do my own translation of what you write down, that there's nothing that I can think of that should be here and is not here. Do I make my point?
So I think, if I understood correctly, you're suggesting that the level of granularity, and I'm not even yet talking about the formulation, but the level of granularity of this suits more a strategic plan in your views, if I understand correctly. So the 60 portfolio that this is 7 of the 60 basically is a strategic plan level of granularity, in the operating plan would be the next level of granularity.
Exactly, because I don't think there's not over the years, or at least over the next coming 2 or 3 years, not much is going to change. I think ICANN will continue to deliver core internet functions.
Right.
And I think also the root system is going to be there. So
right.
These are things for the strategy, for the strategic plan. And
in your annual plan, you come up with details of activities that you're going to conduct in that particular year, what the capacity is that you need, how you prioritize them, and how much it's going to cost. And there'll be quantifiable goals, measurable goals. Leslie?
Well, I disagree. I think that's the index for whatever you're going to write that just doesn't tell us enough, whether it's in strat plan or operating plan. Yeah, that it's a good format for an index, but it doesn't tell me what's going to happen under any of those.
Okay, I think you mean you should even have more detail in your strategic plan. I agree with that. Yeah.
It doesn't tell you where you're going and what you're aiming for at all. I mean, it's good in the sense of gathering it all together in one place, but that's all it did for me.
So these are the buckets under which the activity of the organization are captured. It's not a strategic plan, it's not an operating plan per se. But and so the four objectives and the 16 goals have not changed over the past 18 months, right? So it's the left part is the high level buckets under which the activity is captured. The portfolio starts to get into the components of the activities without necessarily specifying it in the view that we have here what is carried out under each of them. So IN operations doesn't tell you what these operations are. I think that's your point.
I made it for the operational plan. Leslie makes it for the strategic plan. So the message is this is such a high level and with so little detail, and it's so generically phrased that it doesn't help us in any way.
Right. So
apart from it's kind of a rough overview, and we have now the buckets, but we don't know what you're going to put into the buckets.
So the additional information that we're going to provide as part of the information submitted to public comment will include, for each of the portfolios, will include the key success factor for the portfolio, or success factors if there are several per portfolio, as well as the key performance indicator to measure success for that portfolio, which gives more color as to whether it's for, you know, if we take IN operations or root system management, root server system management, which gives more color as to what activities are carried out, because you showed the KPI or the key performance indicator that measures the progress of that activity. So the KSF and the key success factor and the KPI that are associated with each portfolio provide a better understanding as to what the activity is. For each of those portfolios that are here, in addition to the key success factor and the key performance indicator, the budget will be broken down by the five types of costs that five numbers for the total cost associated with each portfolio, as well as the personnel cost, the travel and meeting cost, the professional services cost, and the admin cost, in a similar fashion to what we did last year, if you remember.
Thank you. Giovanni.
Thank you, Xavier. I mean, I understand the concept behind this slide. I mean, there is a goal and there's a portfolio, a group of areas that are covered by, you know, that are supposed to be, you know, in the goal, part of the goal. And you just said that there are going to be some metrics associated to each of what is listed, what Leslie has called an index in the portfolio. But wouldn't be more, you know, wouldn't it be better to associate these metrics to actions that are going to be carried out by ICANN in each of the areas under portfolio? I mean, I assume that if you write internationalized domain names and then you put a key metric there, I have to assume what are going to be the actions.
Sorry.
So I think the formulation of the key success factor helps understanding what activities is carried out under IDN, for example. And then the KPI adds, again, more color to it. So I think it will be a bit more tangible when we provide these two pieces of information associated with the portfolio. To the point that I think you're making, the KPI should help monitor the outcome of the actions that are carried out to achieve the objective. If that's clear.
I understand, but what am I going to read about the activities or actions or whatever operation you like to call them? Where are they listed? Where?
So what we're... the next level of detail after the 60 portfolios is about 500 projects, which is, if you remember last year, this is the level of granularity that was provided along with the in the...
Guys, we're running out of time. So yeah,
PDF and Excel spreadsheet that we provided last year. What we are trying to do is go down from the most aggregated level, which is the objectives and the goals and the portfolios, to associate for each level the key success factors and the KPIs, and then continue down in the granularity for each project, which becomes then a portion of the portfolio being addressed by a project with its own milestone and metric for measurement, and then helping rolling up. So where we are at now is at the level where we have the key success factors and the KPIs for the portfolio. We are asking the budget owners, the department managers, to formulate their budget broken down by project. So that we have at least that data. Part of the challenge is, depending on how granular you want projects to be, you know them today or you don't necessarily know them today. Meaning that the actual projects that will be carried out to achieve the objective for a given portfolio may not always be possible to formulate right now, and maybe something that you can only formulate when you plan at the detail level the activities for the portfolio. So we have a bit that balance, and certainly for certain departments it's a little bit easier to formulate clearly what the projects are. For other departments it's more complicated. So the common denominator that we have right now is the portfolio. Where we need to go, I agree, is the level of project. Which links us back, and I'll stop there, to the conversation about the project accounting system, because where we need to go at the end of the day is produce actual information by project, budget by project, be able to match the two, and from a cycle standpoint, planning at that level, reporting at that level, and analyzing at that level.
Sophia, last question. Once the draft ops planning budgets are out, can we have a Q&A conference call with you?
You mean like the day following or the day off, or as we always do? So yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. I want to leave it as it. This. Thank you very much, Xavier, for explaining this to us and coming here. Thank you, Denise, as well. And we're going to see how we tackle the problem, the fact that we're going to have two drafts in a period of 3 months to comment upon. We had two other subjects. Well, maybe I can ask, who was able to go through the One World Trust report on accountability and transparency? Although I think it's a very interesting report, and there's some interesting approaches to
quantifying your objectives in there. My impression was that at SLP there's not too much for us to do there, but do we all agree on that? So it's good reading stuff, and I do hope that I can take it very seriously. It was an interesting approach, I think, so I can recommend anybody to briefly scan through it, look at what they did, because I can give assign one group trust with assessing their level of accountability, and they did that by comparing ICANN's performance with some other NGOs. One of them was ISO, by the way. And the general conclusion, I think, is ICANN is doing quite well, very well compared to certain of the others in certain areas, but there's also still a lot to learn. And they propose a accountability framework where you can actually measure the performance of ICANN in the field of accountability and also transparency. I think it has a risk of becoming a, what we call in Dutch paper, a tiger, if you don't pay attention. But the approach, I think, is very interesting. So, yeah.
I actually have just some quick information, if you'd like, on this topic. So Wednesday at 3:30, we'll be talking about the accountability and metrics report and next steps as part of the management systems discussion, the dashboard discussion that Susanna will be leading. This will be a subtopic. Ultimately, our goal is to incorporate these metrics and reporting as part of our ongoing KSFs and KPIs throughout the whole organization. We'll be developing a pilot project on the initial metrics, accountability metrics and benchmarks to use, and then getting comments and refining that and ultimately incorporating this in our standard operating procedures for metrics throughout the organization.
You will never make that even then. Okay, carry on, but be brief, Leonie.
I will. Interestingly, the only point missing in the report, I've just checked it deliberately, is any of the absence of any reference to bottom-up policy coordination process.
Okay, well, that's something to check, maybe. Bottom-up policy coordination process. Of coordination of a bottom-up policy process.
In whatever.
Yeah, I think it's
in whatever context, bottom up is just absent.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Since we have run out of time, we are a very small group. I don't think it will work in dividing tasks here. So, but shall we commit ourselves to having a chat together and then coming up with a proposal to the group on how we tackle these two things? Maybe I can just get the sentiment in the group. There are two things that we could do. We could use the same groups or roughly the same groups that we have and give every group an assignment on both strategic plan and operational plan. And of course then we will try to get the overlap, same field of operations. Or we could split up and let half of the groups do ops and the other half and budget and the other half of the groups do strategy. Do I get my point across?
We try both.
No,
in the sense of we offer the opportunity, the reason is there very much the common in one, as you indicated on the slideshow?
At the moment, I wouldn't suggest that we comment on the slides that we have now. We wait for the draft plan.
It depends a bit on the size and what the expected workload will be.
Okay, but then we'll be quite late, huh? Okay, well, yeah, we can design, but if it's kind of, you either have no idea or you're happy with both, then my approach would be to see if we can get the overlap between the strategic plan and the part of the operational plan with the same team. That's probably the best way to work. Yeah?
Okay, so Bart and I will get back to you with the planning and teams and assignments, deadlines, etc. Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just, I want to make a comment on the One World Trust report at the end. I wouldn't dismiss it too quickly. You heard the byplay this morning between Mike Siegler and on the question of an accountability framework for the IANA function. And you can see how anxious ICANN are to have that happen. Whereas if you listen to Keith, I mean, as we should, there is a need for that. So we haven't made that determination. But ICANN will hold out the One World Trust report as a form of Bible to say we don't need any improvements in accountability, we have this report. So there is a linkage between that and the overall IANA thing, so I just don't want us to kind of put that aside too quickly.
Oh, no, that was not my suggestion to dismiss it. The question was just if there is something for the SLP to work on in the sense of this report. I think it's an important report. I think it will be difficult for ICANN, by the way, to do what you said, because there are quite a few recommendations in the report that we then immediately can wave at them and say, yeah, that's probably true, and if you pay so much value to this report, probably you should also do something with the recommendations and the framework. But it's a good point. It was not intended as not important, let's not pay attention. It's just that I don't think there's work for this group in that area at the moment. Okay, once again, thank you all. Have a good meeting. See you many times, I think.